Let's pray.
Holy God in heaven, we thank you for being a great God who is active in the work of his people, who is near to us, who listens to us. God, we pray that this morning you have heard this praise that has been uttered from our lips, that comes from our heart. God, we pray that you would receive these songs of praise, that you would receive this expression of love for one another that we just displayed through communion, and that you receive the gifts that some of us have offered in efforts to help the work of the church here. God, we pray that you would receive it. Most of all, God, we acknowledge that you are present here this morning. And we pray that during this time that we're together, that you would make yourself known in ways that you've never done before. We pray that earnestly from the bottom of our hearts. We pray for you to make yourself known. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you want to open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Gospel according to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse number 1 says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. My earliest recollection of praying involved my sister Michelle. I don't think I talk a lot about my sister Michelle. I talk a lot about my mom and dad and my brother. I don't talk a lot about my sister. My earliest recollections, I'm talking, I was probably age 3 or 4. Growing up in a small home with the five of us, I had the honor and pleasure to always have to share a room with a sibling. I don't know how this happened, but my earliest recollections from age like 3 to 5, I slept in the room with my sister. My sister was 11 years older than I was. And it was my sister, every night before we went to bed, who, at the side of her bed, got on her knees. And so I got on my knees. And then my sister would fold her hands like this. And so I folded my hands like this. And then my sister would bow her head and close her eyes like this. So I bowed my hand and closed my eyes like that. And then she began to pray. And she always started her prayers this way. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Y'all pray with my sister too? And then my sister would pray silently. Now, as a young child, I didn't know what she was saying, but it sounded like this. So that's what I did. Then as I got older, I learned that she was, praying for certain people. And so I would, pray for certain people. I'd, pray for mom and dad and my brother and my sister. And that would kind of be the extent my sister would continue to pray. But I tell that story to say that it was my sister that taught me how to pray. And she didn't just teach me the words to say. She taught me that it was important to pray. She taught me that before you close your eyes and go to sleep, you pray. Before you say night night to everybody, you pray. She didn't just teach me a posture, although I used that posture for a very long time. She didn't just teach me a formula. She taught me very early that God was at work in our lives and was forming us into His special creation. So I stand here several years later saying, I'm glad my sister taught me to pray. Church, I have a confession. I don't pray every night anymore. I have lost what had been a big part of who I was growing up. Now, I've had my moments of recommitting to the important place of prayer in my life. I remember as an 18-year-old freshman at college, Rochester Institute of Technology. I remember it was late at night, and I went in and I burst in my room, and my roommate Calvin was on his bed, and he was on his knees, and he was kind of slumped over, looked kind of weird. And so I was like, hey, I don't know, I had some news. I was like, hey, Calvin, I got to tell you something. Calvin, and he wasn't responding, and I saw that he was breathing, so I knew he wasn't dead. I said, Calvin, and he wouldn't respond, and then I started shouting, forgive me, Lord. I started shouting some obscenities. Will you listen to me? And I'll never forget. He looks up at me and says, dude, I'm praying. So I kind of left the room and for a few days. You know. So embarrassed, and I was so ashamed that the very thing that I had been doing all of my life, I hadn't been doing, but my roommate was. And several nights later, I remember walking in, and he was on his bed like that praying. So I got on my bed, on my knees, and I prayed. So I've had moments of recommitting. Then I go into phases where I don't pray again. But it was at that moment where I quickly remembered that my sister taught me to pray. Sometimes we need reminding, don't we? Sometimes we need something to jolt us into a posture of prayer. For some of us, it's pain. For some of us, we our prayer lives may be on the back burner, and we experience some pain. It may be physical pain, it may be spiritual pain, it may be mental pain, but it's something that jolts us into a posture of prayer. My father wasn't a big praying God, but I remember after having a heart attack and subsequent heart surgery, my father became a praying man. Now, I know that some of you in this audience are some praying folk. You pray constantly. You pray fervently. You pray repeatedly. But I also know that some of us in here go through long periods of time where we don't pray, or we only pray when we're in a bad situation, or we become prayerers again when it seems like it's the right time to pray. I know that there are couples out here who used to pray together and still pray together. And I know that there are married couples out here right now that have never, except for meals, prayed with one another. What I do know is that most of us in here have prayed before, are currently praying, or will pray at some time in the future. I know that many in here can stand up right now and testify about how prayers were answered and God worked on your behalf. I also know that there are some in here who can stand up and share great frustration and disappointment about something they have prayed for over and over and over. And you're frustrated when you hear someone talk about how God has answered their prayer, but you feel like He hasn't answered your prayer. You say, what about me? I'm saying the same things. I mean, the family that says, God gave us traveling grace as we traveled here. We prayed before we left and He protected us. What about the family that prayed before they left but was involved in a fatal accident? What I do know is that much has been said about the practice and the power of prayer from people we know. John Wesley said, I have so much to do in a day that I spend several hours in prayer before I am able to do it. Abraham Lincoln said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had absolutely no other place to go. A Welsh medical doctor and minister, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said, always respond to every impulse to pray. The impulse to pray may come when you are reading or when you are battling with a text. I would make an absolute law of this. Always obey such an impulse. 17th century theologian and poet Francois Fenelon said, of all the duties enjoyed by Christianity, none is more essential and yet more neglected than prayer. E.M. Bounds, a 19th century pastor and author of 9 books on prayer, said, those who know God the best are the richest and most powerful in prayer. Little acquaintance with God and strangeness and coldness to Him make prayer a rare and feeble thing. One of the most identifiable activities of those who are religious is the practice of prayer. And no one would deny that one who is Christian prays to God. In other words, the people of God pray. Boxers box, runners run, chefs cook, surgeons operate, poets write, teachers teach, linebackers tackle, and the people of God pray. There is no separation. This is what we do. We pray. We talk to God. We listen to God. We ask God for things. We ask for protection. We ask for blessing. We ask for healing. We ask for understanding. We ask for direction. We pray when we're thankful and we pray when we're angry. The people of God pray. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7 says, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? Now, while that passage is referring to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, there are similar sentiments in the New Testament, such as James 5, which you dealt with last week. James 5, chapter 5, verse 13. It says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There is an assumption commonly held by the people of God that he is near, that when we pray to this God, this Jehovah, this God that we just sang about, this God that we worship, this God that we say is great and is good, this God is near to us, and we have been given this gift of prayer, this tool of communication to talk to this powerful God, one who isn't aloft or aloof and far off and idle, but someone who is active and near in our lives. The book of Acts, chapter 17, it says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. We worship a God who is near us. Do you believe that, church? In the area of spiritual formation, in which we, the people of God, are being formed and fashioned into the likeness of Jesus Christ, prayer stands at the forefront of the experience. In regards to spiritual formation, the commonly held belief is that prayer, along with other spiritual disciplines, is our way of connecting to this great God in order for Him to mold and shape, change, reconfigure, and make us as individuals into His image. As much as I assert this and believe this for the individual, I would make it firm this morning that I believe that prayer together as a church will mold us, shape us, change us, reconfigure us, and make us collectively into his image. When it comes to prayer, one of the mistakes I think we have made is focusing on formulas, focusing on how to say the prayer, how to begin the prayer, how to end the prayer, focusing on what to include and what to exclude. We have focused on how frequent we pray or what posture we were in when we pray. Now, all that stuff is helpful and is not to be dismissed. What I want us to walk away with this morning and going forward for the rest of our lives together as a church is that one of the greatest gifts and tools, as I've said before, that God has given his people is prayer. He has given us this gateway of communication with him. He has given us this mode of connection. He has given us a power. And before we give in or give up, we pray. Before we move forward or move backward, we pray. And in the middle of celebration, we pray. And at the depth of a trial or tribulation, we pray. Church, this morning, I'm calling for us to dedicate the month of August as a month of fasting and prayer. Next week, you will have the opportunity to sign up for a slot to fast. We want at least one person in the body to be fasting and praying for the first 30 days of August. So there will be a list there. You can sign up for a day. And we're just talking sun up to sundown, asking you to fast for that day. We want all the days covered. Obviously, there will be days where multiple individuals will be fasting on the same day, but we're asking that you would set aside a day during the month of August for fasting and praying. On some selected days, we are going to designate 24-hour praying periods where I want us to commit to praying around the clock for 24 hours. So that means that at 6 a.m., there's going to be someone praying. That means at 12 noon, there's going to be someone praying. That means at 8 p.m., there's going to be someone praying. That means at midnight, there's going to be someone. That means at 3 in the morning, there's going to be someone in the body praying. In August, every Sunday at 8 a.m., we will gather together in here for the express purpose of prayer and meditation. So that means before we get Bible classes started, I'm asking those of you who are interested, it's not mandatory, but it'd be great if everyone who's sitting here right now would gather here at 8 o'clock every Sunday in August for the purpose of prayer and meditation. On August 31st, that's the last day of August, and it's also Wednesday night, we will conclude our month of prayer with a prayer concert and a time of worship. We want to use August as a month that helps this body collectively and as individuals to jumpstart or continue or even modify prayer lives. Now, I'm hoping and praying that a brand new prayer ministry will emerge out of the month of August, where those who are passionate and gifted in prayer will serve the body in a new and special way through prayer. I'm hoping that in September there will be some people who have been touched by the Spirit of God, touched in such a way that they want to continue this very special ministry of prayer. For instance, when we have people who respond at the end of services, we want to be able to have those who have been gifted and called in the area of prayer to be praying with individuals who come forward. And maybe these individuals will be responsible for sending out communications to the body regarding special prayer requests, and that these individuals who God is calling to be a part of this ministry will be the leaders in us praying for one another. Now, in preparation for our month of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage us weekly regarding prayer. I want us to look at the blessing of prayer as well as the frustrations of prayer. I want us to be honest about prayer, But most of all, I want us to move from discussion and sermon to the fervent and frequent practice of prayer. We talk a lot about prayer. We read a lot about prayer. If you go into my office, I have shelves of books about prayer. But sadly, my prayer life doesn't match my library. We've had classes on prayer. We again talk about prayer. I want us to move from conversation about prayer to the practice of prayer. And where do we start this morning? We start with Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. Those who walked with Jesus and knew him best wanted to learn from him. As disciples, we are disciples. We want to take our cue from Jesus. Jesus prayed. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed before he chose his disciples. He prayed when he was alone. He prayed to start his day. He prayed to end his day. He prayed all night into the morning. He prayed with children. He prayed at his transfiguration. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for his apostles and for everyone who would believe in him. That includes you and me. Jesus prayed, so we pray. And the place to start our conversation about prayer is here. Lord, teach us to pray. Not just words, not just postures, not just the right things to say, but Lord, teach us to love to pray. Teach us to know that we have to pray. Teach us to remember to pray. Great men and women of God prayed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Hannah, Samson, David, Elijah, Elisha, Job, Hezekiah, Daniel, and many others were people of God, and they were people who prayed. The church has been reminded over and over again to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Again, James 5:13, are you in trouble? He should pray. 1 Peter 4:7, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Not just formula, not just form, not just the words to pray. Lord, teach us to want to pray. Teach us the need to pray. Teach us to always pray. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. I want to invite you, if you're comfortable, to get on your knees. I'm going to read a prayer from Clement, a prayer from the second century. Then we're just going to have a time of silent prayer. I want to invite any man, if you feel comfortable, to step up to this mic and pray for the body. Sometimes we just need to pray. I feel like this is just a fitting way for us to jumpstart our discussion that will eventually lead to a practice, declaring the month of August as the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ month of prayer. So I invite you again, only if you're comfortable. If you're not comfortable, just stay seated or stand or do what you need to do. But if you can, get on your knees. And let's be reminded to pray. Grant us, Lord, that we may set our hope on your name, which is the primal source of all creation. Open the eyes of our heart that we may know you, who alone are highest in the high, holy in the holy, who lay low the insolence of the proud, who scatter the imagination of the nations, who set the lowly on high and bring the lofty low, who make the rich and make the poor, who kill and make alive, who alone is the benefactor of spirits and the God of all flesh, who look into the abyss, who scan our works, the success of those in peril, the savior of those in despair, the creator and overseer of every spirit, who multiply the nations on earth and choose out from all those who love you through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, to whom you did not instruct us, you did instruct us, sanctify us, honor us. We beseech you, Lord and Master, be our help and success. Save those among us who are in tribulations. Have mercy on the lowly. Lift up the fallen. Show yourself to the needy. Heal the ungodly. Convert the wanderers of your people. Feed the hungry. Release our prisoners. Raise up the weak. Comfort the faint-hearted. Let all nations know that you are God, you alone, with Jesus Christ, your Son, and we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. God, continue to remind us to pray. So thus will be our supplication or our request for the next several weeks, God, for the rest of our lives. Lord, teach us to pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you might have asked during that exercise, man, what would have happened if every man in here came up to pray? And the answers are pretty easy. We'd be here all day. But I'd like to ask another question. What would happen if that didn't happen? It's going to be easy for us to be consumed with times of prayer taking up too much time. But I'm kind of like John Wesley. We have so much to do. How could we not spend more time in prayer? When I first came to Reynoldsburg and met with the shepherds that were the current shepherds, it was Jay Collins and Gray Gaines and Bill Schindel. I remember sitting in the living room. I think it was Bill's living room. I think we joined hands and we prayed for a long time. My arms started hurting. I remember sitting in an office upstairs and several instances of prayer where I was holding Gray Gaines' hands. How many people have prayed with Gray Gaines? Yeah. Gray Gaines has never prayed under 5 minutes in my presence. I don't know. But I loved it. I love that we had business to talk about and we had an hour to meet, but we prayed for 50 minutes and talked business for 10 minutes. It's beautiful. I remember going to a retreat with these guys, I remember, and we prayed what seemed, it had to be 2 hours at least, 3 hours. I fell asleep a couple times. But I loved it because the people of God pray. So I'm going to ask you, don't fall into the temptation of critiquing how long we pray. But Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to fall in love with times of prayer. We'll talk about this maybe in a couple weeks. I remember when Ezra and Nehemiah, they were rebuilding the temple and the walls. And it says they gathered together. It says they spent a quarter of the day in prayer, a quarter of the day in worship. They spent half a day, 12 hours, praying and worshiping. That's what the people of God do. We pray, we worship. So I want to invite you to investigate or to just consider what will happen when we pray. I'll leave you this last story and then we'll close. I think I've told this story a few times, but I remember several years ago when I was in college, Shannon Williams was speaking in chapel. And he said some things about prayer that I disagreed with. I disagreed with. And I was so troubled by what I heard him say. So the next day, I said, you know what? I've got to wrestle with something because I don't know if I disagree with what he says because it's untrue or unbiblical, or if I disagree because I just haven't experienced it. It was a really troubling time. So I chose that day. It was a Wednesday. I chose that day to fast and pray that whole day. So I woke up, got myself together, and I just really spent the day. I think I only had one class that day. I'll always remember that day because that day our cafeteria guy, Jim Case, chose that day to grill steaks. The entire campus smelt like ribeye. It was about 6 o'clock and everyone was going out there getting their steaks, and I went to my room and I was hungry. And I got on my knees and I started to pray. And I didn't have a prayer list. I just started praying, and I prayed for about an hour or so. One of the names that came up as I was praying was a guy named Artaby Lawrence. He was the grandfather of some of my kids in a youth group that I was working with. He was dying. His liver was failing. He was turning yellow, and he was dying. And I remember in that prayer on my bed, I had asked for the very first time ever for God to heal somebody. I'd never prayed that prayer because I thought we couldn't pray that prayer. How can I ask God to heal someone who's dying? He doesn't do that stuff anymore, right? So I prayed that prayer. So we go to church on Sunday, and I'm looking in the bulletin, and it says Artaby Lawrence was baptized into Christ on Wednesday, right about the same time I was praying. He died a couple weeks later. It taught me something. It taught me to pray, to not get caught up in how it's answered, but to get caught up in the fact that God answers. That's going to be very challenging for us as we talk about this over the next several weeks, because we pray for things and we pray specifically for things, and sometimes they're just not answered the way we think they're going to be answered or the way they need to be answered. And so I'm going to ask us not to get caught up in how God answers, but for us to get caught up in knowing that he does answer. That's a leap of faith, but it's a leap of faith that I'm asking you to take with me, take together as we journey through prayer. Prayerfully consider joining us in the month of August, and I believe that God is going to do great things because he is a great God. And as we sing about this great God over the next couple of minutes, I want to invite you, if you are in need of prayer right now, if you're in need of sharing from your brothers and sisters, as you share in a trial or difficulty, or if you want us to share in something that you're triumphant a few weeks ago, Derek Coates came forward and shared that he is in recovery from cocaine, and he wanted to share that victory with the rest of the body. If there's a similar victory that you want to share with the body, we want to offer you that opportunity. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, professing faith to him, of him in this public forum, and being baptized into Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. So please come as we stand and sing a song selected.